We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Tuesday, it's January 10th. Unless you're watching on YouTube, then it's still Monday and you're watching this college football game. We'll call it a game. Joined today by my buddy Tim Buell, Tasteful Tides. Tim, what's happening, my friend?
Oh, you know, not much. Just sweating some Monday night NBA action. I got some NHL action going on, and I'm pretty glad. I guess I didn't watch any of the college football games, so I hear that I made the right decision, because I guess it's not a very good game.
Yeah, it's 45-7 in the third quarter. So hopefully everyone's just coming over and hanging out on YouTube now. You know, you could leave that game on, mute it, and let us entertain you here for the next, you know, little while, because the game's not close. And yeah, it's something. You know, you get these games, and I mean, one team has to win, one team has to lose, and yeah, I mean, it's not close. That's for sure.
So it's not legal for me to bet anything college props or DFS in the state that I live. So I don't follow college sports at all. All I heard was that TCU didn't belong in the game. And I guess the haters were correct.
I thought it was going to be a closer game. As a Gator, like, I know how good Georgia is, but I thought it was going to be closer. I still would have taken Georgia minus 11, I think it was. But, I mean, I live in Florida. I can't bet on that. So I watched the first half of the game, and I turned it off and watched the movie. So, you know, and then we hopped on here. But yeah, we got a nice little 7-game NBA slate to break down and talk about here today. Yeah, I mean, Monday's slate so far, okay. I mean, hitting some props, and that's always good. I was very heavy on the point and rebound prop for Randall, and, you know, that one, I think he hit it by two. to hit it. So, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's 1 or 2 points. It's all we need at the end of the day. Just go over. So, and I mean, like, Jalen Brunson, he hit his, like, point rebound assist prop with just his points. So, I mean, that was kind of fantastic. So, yeah, I mean, it's starting off as a okay day. See how it kind of ends up. But, I mean, some action going on the NBA. So, we got 7 games. We're going to jump right in, get started here. We got Detroit at Philly taking on the 76ers. No line out for this game. I think we're still kind of waiting on some injury news on Pistons side. Bagley's out. Bogdanovich is out. Durant is out. Cunningham is out still. Livers is questionable. Joel Embiid is why we don't have a line. He's questionable for this game. We'll see. I don't know if they're necessarily going to need him if he's still not 100%. Excellent spot for him to kind of sit out again. Give me your thoughts here on Detroit.
Yeah, so it's, you know, very much dependent on Embiid, even on the Detroit side. But I think the first guy I wanna look at is Isaiah Stewart. This seems like this would be a good spot for him. You know, this isn't gonna be like a huge fast paced game. But Philadelphia has the second worst rebounding percentage in basketball. And without Joel Embiid, they're going to be even worse. So I think this is a really, really good spot for Isaiah Stewart at a really, really affordable price tag. And he has power forward center eligibility, which I really like. I guess, I didn't even realize Jalen Duren's out too. So yeah, Duren's out. Yeah, so this is a real, real good spot for Isaiah Stewart. So, man, he might even like pop an obstacle tomorrow. He might even be like a cash game play. So, yeah, Isaiah Stewart is. I didn't even realize Duren was out. So, yeah, Isaiah Stewart is an unbelievable play. Bagley's out. So, yeah, Stewart's gonna get all like the center minutes. So, I think he's an absolute smash play.
Yeah, I like Stewart a lot. I mean, he's gonna highlight this Detroit team for me today. I mean, Bogdanovich being out, I think in tournaments you could take shots on maybe Burks or Hayes, but I like them more if Embiid sits. I want Embiid to be out. Those guys, I mean, they might not come off the floor in a game that turns kind of ugly, but I mean, Bay is at 4,600 with Bogdanovich out as well. I mean, he's in line to play really solid minutes. So this game, first game of the night, but also offers some really good value here night before. So don't love Detroit. I hate their rotations, but now, you know, we're missing Bagley. We're missing Bogdanovich, missing Durin. Like that's three guys that have been playing like consistent minutes here recently. So that's a lot of minutes that, you know, kind of go around for these guys. So don't love it, but don't hate it. I think that Detroit's a great value today. And I agree. I think Stewart's definitely going to be popping in some optimals today. I think he played.
Yeah, 35 minutes last game.
Yep.
Yeah, 40 DK points. I mean, that's well within. I mean, that's he might be like one of the best point per dollar plays for Tuesday's slate.
I mean, here we are, the Philadelphia side. It's all going to kind of depend on whether or not Embiid plays or not. If Embiid plays, I really don't have a ton of interest in Philadelphia as a whole. Maybe, you know, taking some, like, tournament shots on, like, Trez if Embiid plays. If Embiid's out, I think you could look at Harrell, and I think you could look at Reed as some value here. I don't know how much Harden I get. I think he absolutely crushes in this spot for as long as this game can stay close. So I think if you're playing Harden, you're probably running it back with like a Hayes and like a Stewart or something along those lines. What are your thoughts here on Philly?
Yeah, last game out, they split the center minutes completely even between Montrez and Paul Reed. So I would lean towards Paul Reed. I think that assuming Paul Reed comes off the bench, I prefer whoever comes off the bench more, just because if they run out with the first unit, their usage is going to drop tremendously. So my lean would be to go with Paul Reed if Joel's out. Tyrese Maxey got up to 33 minutes last game. Assuming he's kind of pretty much off his minutes limit, like $7,200 seems like a really, really reasonable price tag. Like there is certainly a ceiling at that price. So I think that Harden might be more owned than Maxey, and I think Maxey would make for a really, really interesting tournament pivot, and he gets point guard, shooting guard eligibility, which is really valuable.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I mean, overall, on the Philadelphia side, we're waiting on Embiid news. You know, if Embiid plays, I'm going to struggle on the Philly side if Embiid plays. I mean, it's as simple as that. All right,
I think Maxey's a good tournament play, even if Embiid plays. That's just my two cents.
No, I mean, that's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, because he probably doesn't come off the court in a blowout either. So
right, yeah,
that's always a win. Yeah. All right, try cleaning off my desk as we're going here and putting stuff on the ground, disappearing off the screen. But it is always fun when you have stuff on your desk and you're trying to work. Thunder at Heat. This game has a 224.5 total. The Heat, a 4.5-point favorite in this one. On the Miami side of things, Bam is questionable. Haslam is questionable. Hero is questionable. Kyle Lowry is out. Caleb Martin is out. Duncan Robinson is out. And Yurt 7 is out. So typical 2022-2023 season for the Miami Heat. And then on the Thunder side of things, I mean, Holmgren is out still. And Robinson Earl is out. And Poku remains out. So, I mean, pretty much the same pieces here for the Thunder. Miami really banged up. I think this is a spot we potentially see Bam sit, especially with Deadman probable in a matchup against the Thunder at home. Any interest here in the Thunder?
I don't really have a ton of interest in the Thunder. This is not a good spot. They have too many bodies. Their rotations they run out too many bodies. You know, this is not a good spot for SGA. He's pretty close to matchup proof, but this is just, he's too expensive. So I'm not really that interested in anyone for Oklahoma. They play too many guys, and their rotations are not valuable for DFS purposes.
Yeah, still too healthy. I mean, that's my problem with the Thunder, is they're just still too healthy. If we got news like someone would sit, it would potentially open some stuff up. I mean, in large field tournaments, I think Jalen Williams is someone you could potentially take shots on. But I mean, I think you're going to find better value on this slate. EN, not IN. I don't think Lynn plays a lot at 3,100. Williams at 5K, I think, is okay. On the Miami side, I mean, it's really going to depend on Hero and Bam. If these guys are out, Butler's 8,900 against the Thunder, kind of shorthanded Miami team. Oladipo is 5,300. I like those guys a lot in that type of scenario. And then, I mean, Deadman's 3K. If we think he's going to come back and play 20 minutes if Bam sits, I think you have to potentially look at Dwayne Deadman as well.
Yeah, I really hope Bam doesn't sit, because I really want to play Bam. He's going to absolutely eat in this matchup. So I'm hoping that I can play Bam. Jimmy Butler, power forward only, pretty valuable position, under 9K in this matchup. You know, obviously we're waiting on news, but Victor Oladipo got 26 minutes last game. He's averaging 31 in his last 10 days. So, I mean, he's starting to get up there for minutes. So I'm not sure he's going to have too much of a ceiling, but I think he'd be an okay if you like landed on him for a last piece type scenario. And then you're right. Like, obviously if Bam is out, then it's going to be like all the Dwayne Deadman for 3K. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. They might be a little bit thin on the wings too, because Robinson and Martin are out. So don't forget about a guy like Max Strus too. So given the size of this slate, if we get the news that Bam is out or Hero's out, we're going to be playing probably two or three Heat players in our lineups tomorrow.
Yep. I agree with that. You know, we're going to have to wait and see kind of thing, but I think the wait and see thing definitely with a 7:30 game could kind of shape what we're looking at here. Could be, if we get that news early enough, could be some potential good pivots off of the Detroit value in that first game. tournament wise, I mean, I think Detroit, the minutes are going to be there for a few of those guys for sure. But I mean, Miami is really interesting. If some people sit, if everyone plays, I mean, if Bam plays and Hero plays, I'm out. I have no interest in Miami in that scenario. Maybe Bam, but at 9,100, I need him to play the whole game. And I don't know if a full strength Miami team, if the Thunder keeps this game close in Miami kind of thing. So,
yeah, I see that.
Charlotte at Toronto, 231.5 total here. The Raptors, a 7.5-point favorite in this one. On the Charlotte side, Oubre is still out, and Hayward is doubtful. Toronto, I mean, outside of Otto Porter Jr., they're pretty healthy right now. So we'll go Charlotte first. What do you like here for the Hornets?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely going to be probably maybe Terry Rozier. Maybe Plumlee, kind of depends on if Gordon Hayward's in or out, but possibly like PJ Washington or Jalen McDaniels. But LaMelo, I think, is too expensive for this matchup. 10K, like, yeah, he could get there, but I highly doubt that I'll be spending 10K on LaMelo Ball tomorrow. So I think he's a pass. I think it's going to be some of these, like wing type players like Rozier, PJ Washington, Jalen McDaniels. That's who I'd be looking to, because I really like the other side of this game. So I'm hoping I can find somebody from Charlotte to play with some of my Toronto pieces.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm choosing out of Ball and Rozier, I think Ball has the higher ceiling, but point per dollar, I think Rozier is solid. I think at 6,900. Taking that discount is kind of where I end up. They're going to need Mason Plumlee to play the minutes. If he could stay out of foul trouble, he's someone that has over 37 fantasy points in four of the last five games. So five of the last seven. If he could stay out of foul trouble, I could see Mason Plumlee on a DraftKings where you could play multiple centers. FanDuel, I don't know if I get to Mason Plumlee today. I also don't know if he's center only, but I would assume that he's center only over there. But that's kind of what I'm looking at for Charlotte. I don't know if this is a spot I play PJ Washington. I do think PJ Washington gets really solid minutes because they're going to need his size in this game. The Toronto side, I mean, everyone being healthy kind of stinks. You know, he's been on another level here recently. He's shown some big time ceiling. He's getting a lot of like secondary defensive stats. Like, talk to me about Toronto. You seem way more excited about Toronto than me.
I am. Well, just because they play such tight rotations. So, I mean, they are healthy, but, I mean, they're not like Oklahoma. I mean, these guys play 36, 38 minutes every single game. So, if Charlotte can just keep this even somewhat close, these starters are going to be out there for a ton. And in one of the best matchups you could possibly ask for, you know, Charlotte is eighth in pace, and they're one of the worst defensive teams. They're fifth worst in the NBA in defensive rating. So, I mean, this is like a gold mine for fantasy points for Toronto. So, like I said, though, you know, you're going to want them to be able to keep it close. So I'd like to be able to run it back with somebody from Charlotte, but I'm not sure. But I love Pascal Siakam. I wish that he wasn't just center only, but you know, still, I think that he's just an amazing spot. We've seen big men against Charlotte all year long just crush them. So Siakam's going to play 38, 40 minutes in this game, and he's a guy that I would definitely spend 10K on tomorrow.
I mean, you know me. You know I have no problem playing a center against Charlotte. I talk about it every time they're on the slate. I could see Siakam just having a crush game here. Even if the game doesn't stay close, they tend to play these guys until that like 6-5, 6-minute mark in the fourth. I mean, that's just the Toronto rotation, unless this game's way out of hand. But I think like if you're playing Siakam, you're looking at like a Rozier Plumlee kind of combination. I mean, you could do LaMelo and just hope that like the two studs in this game go bonkers, but it's going to take up a lot of salary cap, even on a seven-game slate. And I don't know if LaMelo is going to have the raw points unless he just has that, like, ceiling game. Because, I mean, we do have, like, Luka, who's expected to play, right? I know he's questionable, but I think he's expected to play.
Yeah, I think he's expected to come back.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Cleveland-Utah game is really interesting, and we'll talk about that when we get there. It's coming up next game, I think. So, yeah, I mean, overall, I think that you could potentially go Siakam Ball. I'm probably going, like, Siakam, Rozier, Plumlee, or, like, a P.J. Washington type on the Charlotte side of this game. So, moving on, we get to talk about this game. Cleveland at Utah, 227 total. The Cavs, anywhere from 3 to 4 on most sports books. There's a 3, there's a 3.5, there's a 4. So kind of all over the board, but on that number. On the Cleveland side, Ricky Rubio remains out. Wade and Windler out as well. And then on the Jazz side, THT is out. Kelly Olynyk out with an ankle sprain. And then Colin Sexton remains out with the right hamstring. I mean, Sexton kind of knew. I mean, we knew that he was going to be out for a couple weeks. Olynyk is the big one here. You know, that definitely opens up some value. Maybe a Kessler or something. We'll talk about that in a second. Let's go Cleveland first. You know, Mitchell, this is a fantastic spot if this game could stay close. I mean, Utah is one of the best teams in the NBA to target against. They play at a pretty good pace. I think they're 11th in pace and they're 27th in defensive rating. What do we like here for Cleveland?
Well, you know, there's always the revenge narrative, right? Coming
they already
back
played
to...
once this year. I mean, I guess they're going into Utah this time.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Donovan Mitchell's too expensive on paper. I can see it if you really wanted to do it in large field GPPs. But I want to attack Utah in the interior. So I love getting to, like, a guy like Evan Mobley or Jared Allen. Jared Allen's, like, seems just way, way too cheap, $6,200. Problem is that center is just always such a valuable position, and we've already talked about, like, a couple centers already. But Jared Allen is just – way too cheap. So I think he would be my favorite, followed by Mobley, and then I guess like a Mitchell in a real large field setting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Mobley or Allen at their prices is just too cheap.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I think this is a spot, like, one of these two guys has a ceiling game. I don't know how much I play them together. I really like this spot for Allen. I think that with Olynyk out, like, if it's going, assuming that it would be, like, a Kessler, like, this seems like a great spot for Allen to have just kind of a ceiling-type game. So, like, Allen at 6,200. Tough to pay this price for Mitchell at 96, but I could definitely see him having a good game if this game stays close. So I think if you're playing Mitchell, you're trying to run it back with like a Clarkson or a Markkanen, you know, type of game stack, because you're really going to need someone to show up for Utah and do well for Mitchell just to get the fourth quarter, really. Utah side of this game. Cleveland's the worst team to target against. It's just they play at the slowest pace in their first and defensive rating. Like, it's finally gotten to that point. Like, it's been trending that way for weeks, But now it is finally there. Like, Cleveland plays at the slowest pace, and they have the number one defensive rating. They're a very tough team to target against. Outside of a stack, Tim, am I missing something here? Like, I know we're going to get some value with either a Vanderbilt or Kessler, whoever kind of starts in this game. But, I mean, it's not even like because Olynyk was just recently out, it's not even like these guys are extremely cheap.
You're not missing anything. Like, they're not going to be popping in optimals. They're going to need Vanderbilt size. They're going to need Kessler's size. The problem with Kessler is that he's center only, and we already named like five centers in four games that we've broken down. So, yeah, they're going to need him, though, and he's only 4,700. I just doubt that at the end of the day, Kessler is going to be in an optimal GPP winning lineup. So I would probably just have to pass on Kessler, even if he's going to be playing heavier minutes. I think Mike Conley is kind of interesting just because of the pace of this game. Like, it would fit his style well. But I don't really want to attack Cleveland, so I don't have really that much interest in him.
Yeah, I mean, I can't, like, end up on anything here on the Utah side. Like, I really don't think this game stays close. I mean, I hate trying to project blowouts, but as good as Cleveland is and as bad as Utah is, like, I think the only way I'm getting exposure to this game is like a 1-2 or 2-1 type of game stack. Same thing, I know. I just,
even if this game does stay close, they're priced high enough. Like, Markkanen's high enough, Clarkson's high enough, Conley's high. Like, they're all priced high enough that they might not exceed, they might not reach like GPP winning upside even in a close game. So I highly doubt we'll be getting to any Utah.
All right, we got Phoenix at Golden State. No total in this game. We do already have some news for this one. Steph Curry is questionable. Jermichael Green is out. Andre Iguodala is probable. I don't know how much he'll actually play, but he's probable. Kuminga is out. And Wiseman is out. And on the Phoenix side, they're really banged up right now. Ayton's questionable with an ankle sprain. Booker's out. Torrey Craig has an ankle sprain. He's questionable. Cameron Johnson, Cameron Payne, both out. Chris Paul out. And Shamet questionable. Like, we might see some G Leaguers here. There's no line out for this game, but I mean, I'm expecting it to be double digits Golden State way when we do get a line for this game. Let's talk Phoenix. It's almost impossible to talk about Phoenix until we know if Ayton is going to play. But, I mean, if Ayton is out, there's just going to be so many minutes here. Like, a Washington Jr. is going to play a bunch of minutes. A Damian Lee going up against Golden State. Dario Saric, like, a lot of minutes. A lot of cheap minutes in this game, depending on, like, if you're Phoenix, how do you play Ayton in this game? You just say, all right, this is a punt. We're moving on to the next one. Like, there's no way I'm playing Ayton in this game.
Yeah, no chance. I completely agree with you. It's definitely going to be Dwayne Washington Jr. season tomorrow. He's going to be like super, super chalky point guard, shooting guard, 4,200. Going to play probably all the minutes he can handle, even in a blowout. Like, how could they even take him off the court? So he is probably going to be your, you know, 60% cash game or 60%, you know, in GPPs cash game lock. You know, I don't see really any sense in getting away from it. Golden State plays at the fastest pace in basketball. So, yeah, like, this is a pretty good spot. And I think Dwayne Washington's is gonna crush the $4,200 price tag.
I like him and Lee a lot. Damian Lee, 3,400. He's gonna need to play a lot of minutes in this game, especially like if Shamet gets ruled out as well. Like, I mean, if Ayton's out, ton of interest in Sarge. If Shamet gets ruled out, ton of interest in Lee. Regardless, I have interest in Washington. I mean, he's just going to play as many minutes as he can handle here. If Shamet plays at 5K, this might be a game he gets up like 15 to 20 shots. So it could potentially be an interesting pivot. And Bridges is going to shoot a lot in this game as well at 6,200. I just I mean, he's probably one of the first guys off the court if this game gets ugly. I mean, that's my only concern with Bridges.
And don't forget about guys like, you know, like Jocelyn Dale, too, who might be like a pivot away from Dwayne Dedmon, who's in like an earlier game. And if like we don't know if Ayton's playing at 10 o'clock Eastern time, you might want to hold out and see if you can get like, you know, a Phoenix center instead, because they're going to be really, really, really short on bodies. So this might be worth like holding out for.
All right, the Golden State side, I mean, especially if Curry comes back, everyone healthy here. I mean, Wiggins is back now. Like, these prices are priced like Wiggins and Curry's out. I struggle to get any exposure in this game to Golden State. Outside of maybe, like, see, I don't even know if I can go, like, DiVincenzo with everyone back. Maybe Anthony Lamb just getting garbage time run as well. Like, I struggle with Golden State here.
I feel like we won't be playing a lot of Golden State tomorrow. I think Curry's going to be coming back. I think Clay will be back. You know, I think that they're going to be getting healthy, and it's just not – I don't think this is a good spot. I mean, it's a good spot, but they're just too healthy, and there's no standout salaries that I want to, like, you know, that really stick out. So I kind of like your call, though, for a large field setting to kind of figure out, like, a Ty Jerome or a Lamb, like somebody who plays in, like, a massive blowout. I think that would be interesting for, like, a 150 setting, but not something that I'll be touching for, like, a single entry type format.
All right. We got Orlando at Portland. No total for this game. I mean, okay, I say no total. One book has this game up as Portland minus 7.5 at a 230 total. So there you go. Orlando's on the second end of a back-to-back. Portland will be without Little and Winslow, but Nurkic and Gary Payton both probable. The Orlando Magic, good luck figuring out who we're looking at in and out here, especially on the second end of a back-to-back. The rotations are kind of weird right now. What are your thoughts on Orlando?
Yeah, like you said, this is the second night of a back-to-back, so there could be some funny business going on, and hopefully we get that news soon, like before that 7:30 window Eastern time, because I would like to get exposure to this game. I would love to play like a Banchero or a Wagner or Carter Jr. Like, this is like a pretty decent game environment. But like you said, the rotations are a little wonky and there's not any like standout plays. I think Bol Bol is coming back. I'm not sure about that. I think he's, yeah.
He's supposed to be back. Yeah, so maybe he's hit Wendell Carter Jr. on the second end.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm kind of thinking, because Bol Bol has cleared safety protocols. So he should be back. I would think that there's a possibility that they sit Wendell Carter Jr. Maybe that brings Mo Wagner into play, but you know, it's just I want to get exposure to this game, so hopefully we'll get some kind of news, because this is a pretty decent, I think this is a pretty decent game environment.
Yeah, I mean, I hope we get some news as well. We might not get it until like 4 or 5 Eastern, a couple hours before lock. But I think if I had to guess here, Orlando sits Wendell Carter Jr. at least in this game. At least. I mean, that game's still, I think it's in the first half still. So I'll probably be turning it on once we get done. But I mean, with Anthony healthy now as well, there's a lot of mouths to feed. So unless people start getting ruled out for Orlando, it's really tough. And then on the Portland side, I mean, this is a fantastic spot for Dame. Like, yes. If Orlando can keep this game close, Dame can have a field day here. Orlando is terrible at defending the three. Worst team in the NBA over the last week defending the three. Small sample size. I think they're 5th overall. But, I mean, even if you look at just like tonight's game, Herder has a couple, Lyles has a couple. I mean, they just get shredded from the three-point line. Watching on my couch all the time, and I'm like, what are they doing? But anyway, I like Dame a lot. Maybe this is a spot. If Josh Hart was cheaper, I could get to him. But, I mean, the problem with Portland overall is they're just really expensive. Outside of maybe Dame, like, you know, getting Damian Lillard under 10K is always nice.
I was going to say, it feels like to me like Dame is too cheap for this spot. You know, under 10K, 9,500. You know, he's going to easily shoot the ball over 20 times in this game. So if he gets it going, he's got an easy 60-point upside in this game. So I really like Dame. But the question is, do I like him better than some of the other, like, higher-end options that we've already talked about? I'm not sure. I mean, I still have my eyes kind of on Siakam. If we get some kind of that, you know, Jimmy Butler or Bam, you know, depending on the Miami news, I don't know. But Dame is close. And if he's going to be lower-owned, then I think he's your tournament play over those guys. It really comes down to what ownership is going to look like, because I, like you said, this is such a good spot. The other Portland players, I really don't have a ton of interest in. I think this is Dame or nothing for me. There's nothing. Nurkic should be back. I don't think there's really anybody else. They're not really priced in a fashion that I'd like.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
This game is wild. Georgia is smashing. Just absolutely.
Is that game still on?
Yeah, if you're listening live, you'll get my tweet that I just sent. I said, "How's the football game going? Close one." You know that I know, but it's always funny to send those tweets out. So. We finish out this slate with Dallas at LA taking on the Clippers. I mean, some books don't have a line out for this one, so I'm definitely a little concerned about Luka. It's a questionable mark on the injury report for ankle soreness. Finney Smith remains out. Josh Green is out, and Maxey is still out. And then on the Clippers side of things, Paul George and Luke Kennard are out. Start with Dallas. Everything revolves around Luka. If Luka plays, he's obviously in play. If Luka's out, they DraftKings, I don't know about FanDuel and Yahoo, but DraftKings made sure that the price these Dallas guys appropriately for Luka. Like, if Luka plays, you're not paying $8,600 for Christian Wood. You're not paying $7,100 for Dinwiddie, and you're probably not paying $6K for Hardaway, even though, like, he's more reasonable. Like, if Luka's out, we can have conversations, but if Luka plays, it's really hard to play any of those guys from Dallas. Outside of maybe going to, like, a Reggie Bullock at $3,500, playing 30 minutes and sitting in a corner.
Yeah, please don't play Reggie Bullock. But anyway, yeah, it's all up to Luka. I think he's going to be coming back. I really like and I applaud what DraftKings did with Dinwiddie and Hardaway's prices. I wish they would be more aggressive doing that with other players. So yeah, you're not getting to any of these players if Luka's in. Yeah, this is a tough spot because I'd like to get to Luka and I'd like to get to Siakam, but there goes, you know, 22.6 of my salary cap right there. So we're going to need to see some real value open up. But if I can get to him, then yeah. I mean, I play Luka pretty much every slate. It kind of reminds me of when Russell Westbrook was on the Thunder. I'm sure you remember those days where you just played Russ, you know?
Yep.
It's kind of, it's pretty similar. It's pretty close. I think that Luka should just be minimum 13K. And so at 12.6, I still think there's plenty of meat on the bone, as they say.
One Chief Justice likes to say that a lot. So, I mean, we saw the ceiling, right? Like, his ceiling is just incredible. I mean, this guy went for 110, 80, and 85 in three straight games. Like, it is a seven-game slate. Raw points do matter on a seven-game slate. Not as much as, like, a four-game slate, but they still matter on a seven-game slate. If Luka's good to go, he is the top play on the slate. Every slate.
What I've noticed the last few times I've played him when he's only gone for, you know, 65, 66 is that he's not even really particularly playing that well. And he's putting up, it's almost like over 60 is his floor, barring like an injury, you know? So when I feel like that's your floor, I can't help but to roster him. So, I mean, it's just one of those, you just jam him in. And I'm sure that, you know, by the time 10:30 Eastern rolls around, we'll have some value that'll be easier to do.
I mean, there's a ton of value on this slate. Like, without news yet, there's a ton of value.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Phoenix is going to be a ton.
Detroit. I mean,
Detroit.
Like, there's a ton of value on this slate. So,
yeah.
Clippers side of this game. I mean, the one thing that Dallas has really struggled with this season is wing players. If we think Kawhi is going to get 35 plus minutes and put up 20 plus shots with no Paul George, he's the excellent run back option to Luka. I actually, outside of him, I struggle. I mean, I think you take shots here, but I think Kawhi is like the main play. Maybe I'm looking at like a Norman Powell or something, but I think we're going to have better value in other games. And I just play the two studs here. Let him, you know, take me to the promised land at the end of the night.
Yeah. Dallas plays at the second slowest pace in the whole league. So this is not, you don't really, we very, very, very rarely want to stream players against Dallas. So I just don't think that there's any reason to roster them. I'm not seeing it. I don't think it's going to be there.
Yeah, I like Kawhi. Like, if I'm playing Luka, I like Kawhi. If Luka's out, I still like Kawhi because I'm still going to get some exposure to Dallas if Luka sits. So definitely an interesting game to kind of finish out the slate. But, I mean, this slate's fun. A lot of potential here. Yesterday on the podcast, I was still thrown off by that Boston Celtics Chicago Bulls total, and I just saw that it like went way under. So it's good to be right every once in a while. it really threw me off yesterday. All right, favorite play morning grind game, DraftKings pricing and scoring. Favorite play under 5,000 to go 7x today. We have a few. Who do you got today?
Dwayne Washington is the cheat code. So, and then Isaiah Stewart. Is Stewart under 5K?
No, he's 51.
Oh, all right. So, Dwayne Washington's the easy one.
Yep. I mean, Washington, he should have no problem hitting that. I'm going to go off the board. I originally had this as my Let's Get Rid GPP play today, but I'm gonna switch it up. I'm going to go way off the board here. I'm going to go Anthony Lamb, Golden State Warriors, 4,500. And I think you get 7X today. Over 8K to go under 5X. Who's your bust at the top today? A lot of great options up here today.
LaMelo.
Like that one. No issues with that. I'm going to go James Harden. I just don't think this game stays close enough for him to get the full minutes. And if it does, then he probably crushes. So I'm going off of I don't think he gets his full minutes in this game. Favorite 6X play today. Who do you got?
I'm going to go Pascal Siakam.
I like that. I do. I like that one. Gosh, man. I think I'm going to go Allen. Jared Allen, 6,200.
I think he
smashes Utah in this spot. I think this is like a 2015 game for him. So that should get him over his fantasy 6X. So I like Allen a lot. Let's get weird. GPP play of the day. Who do you got today?
Jock Lindale.
All right. I think that's weird for sure. I'm going to go a little less weird. I'm going to go Mason Plumlee. I think at 6K, he'll go really low on the slate. I think they're going to need his size in this one. He plays 30, 35 minutes. He's been a really good point per minute producer. So even in a tougher matchup here against Toronto, I'm going to go Mason Plumlee as my Let's Get Weird GPP play of the day. Any bets, props, anything standing out to you here night before?
Do we have a line on Charlotte-Toronto? I can't remember.
Let's see. Yes, it's 231.5, Raptors 7.5.
I would go, I like Toronto to cover the 7.5.
All right. All right. I'm definitely going to be looking at Allen's point and rebound total for today. It's not up yet. But that's one like jumping off the page to me. So that's one I'm going to be looking at for tomorrow. I really like this spot. I just checked again to see if it was up, and it's at 22.5 right now. I don't know what book this is on. I'm using Scores and Odds. It says it's on DK Sportsbook. So if it's 22.5, just go take the over on that right now. Maybe it's on Sleeper. I'm going to pull up Sleeper really quick. But Tim, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, Stevie, thanks. And I hope everybody has a real successful Tuesday. I hope we crush it.
Yeah. Tuesdays are always fun. Usually we get bigger slates. I like how they spread it out this week. So Allen is at 24.5 points, rebound, and assists. They don't have just points and rebound over there on Sleeper, but they do have it at 31.3 fantasy points. I like the over on that. I like that a lot. So I'm going to pair that with Siakam over 25.5 points, and that's going to be our morning grind Sleeper pick for today. Yeah. 2 for 2, classic, 3X, or all in, not classic, 3X on our 2 for 2. Hope everyone, if you haven't checked out Sleeper, Grinders code for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's going to wrap it up here for Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, talking college football. I mean basketball, because hopefully these games will be a lot closer. Hope everyone has a fantastic Tuesday. We'll see you again tomorrow.